As we approach the end of the church year, we consider the end times and the return of Jesus. We're in the second week of our three-part series, Infused with Hope. Today's theme is the return of the King, and the first reading comes from the book of John, chapter 5, beginning from verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from the death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming, and has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. The second reading comes from Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of his prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the provinces of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of our Lord.
Today's theme, the return of the King. I guess where that graphic came from. Lord of the Rings sort of thing, yeah. I think Tolstoy was very deliberate with that in his imagery and symbolism. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time where we can press into a portion of Revelation. Holy Spirit, reveal the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to us in a deeper way. And give us a fresh vision of the story we are part of as people who have a hope and a future in Jesus. Amen. Life on earth isn't always easy, yes? Sometimes good people go through terrible things. And whenever we experience abuse, hostility, injustice, trial, trauma, or loss, we start to ask questions. Why is this happening to me? How come this is happening to us? What on earth is God up to? How can this be part of God's plan? How long? How long do I have to go through this before God brings an end to this suffering? Friends, when it comes to the believers in the first century church who were living on the western seaboard of Turkey around 100 AD, I reckon they had plenty of questions like this too. Why is God allowing us to suffer persecution? Why is it that the Jews report us to the Roman authorities, accusing us of being outlaws simply for practicing our faith in Jesus, which had its roots in the Jewish faith. How are we supposed to resist the fastest growing religion of our time, that is the emperor cult, where people are forced to confess Caesar is Lord? How can we resist the might of Rome when they confiscate our property, when they marginalize us from the marketplace, when they arrest us, throw us into prison, or march us out into the arena for public execution? Are we wasting our time following Jesus rather than the one who seems to be Lord of this world? Friends, God's revelation is an emphatic no to that question. Christians under the pump are given a fresh vision that puts their persecution into perspective and infuses them with hope and confidence about the future. John writes that those who read aloud, hear and take the words of this revelation to heart are blessed by God. So, what does John begin writing to the people of God who are under the pump? Well, he starts, like most letters do, with an introduction and a greeting. John, the person writing, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. The number seven is the number of completeness. So there are more than seven churches in that region. So there are seven mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3, but no, it's to the whole church, past and present and future. And what's the greeting? Grace and peace to you. Grace, God's undeserved favour, peace of being in a right relationship with God. And notice who this grace and peace comes from. List three things: from him who is and who was and who is to come. That's God the Father, the everlasting one, the one who is and who was and who is to come. There's no place in time or in history when the great I am is not accessible to his people. And this I am is always wanting to bring grace and peace to his people. Amen. Well, grace and peace also come from the seven spirits, or the sevenfold spirit before his throne. I think that's just another term for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who brings the peace of God and gets it inside us, yes? And peace and grace from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Grace and peace come from Jesus, whose credentials speak for themselves. First it says, who is the faithful witness? The word witness there in Greek is martus, from which we get our English word martyr, someone who dies testifying to the truth. Jesus' witness to the truth of God provoked the religious leaders to murder him. Jesus knew this would happen, yet he did not compromise the truth, nor did he quit his mission. Instead, for the joy of having you and me with him in eternity, he faithfully endured the cross and its shame. Second, Jesus is firstborn from the dead and is therefore Lord over both the dead and the living. Jesus gives us hope and courage because he's gone before us into our future. As the firstborn from the dead, Jesus' resurrection guarantees your resurrection and my resurrection. Friends, Jesus is our destiny. Amen. And third, Jesus is ruler of the kings of the earth. How can that be when we suffer for his name? Yes, there are evil authorities who will persecute God's people and demand they renounce Jesus as Lord. Yet they cannot rob our destiny and life with Jesus. The big picture at the end says all the leaders of the earth will one day be accountable to him. So after his opening greeting, God draws his readers into praising Jesus, and let's declare these words together. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Get the sense of worship that John's drawing his people into worshiping and praising God for their future. The first reason for praise is because of Jesus' love. He loves us. Do you know Jesus loves you? Do you remember that in the morning, noon and night? Because when you remember it and press into it, it changes how you look at the day and handle the day. Because then it's all not about everything you do. It's about knowing and enjoying and sharing the love of Jesus. You know, Jesus loves us whether we're good or bad, or mad or sad. Regardless, he loves us, always has, and always will. Jesus has freed us from our sins by his blood. No amount of silver or gold could purchase our forgiveness. Yet the perfect Lamb shed his holy and innocent blood. And in shedding it, it's the blood of a new covenant for the forgiveness of all your sins. And so, this blood of Jesus, it frees us from guilt and shame. And the blood of Jesus brings us into his story, God's restoration story for his world, where every one of us has a part to play. And Jesus has made us to be a kingdom and priests. Now, when we were baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, we became citizens of the kingdom of God. And by the Spirit, we live and give our allegiance in our lives to Jesus as our King. And in this allegiance, we in a sense have been set apart as holy people, priests. We get to join with Jesus in serving his Father as our Father, as priests. As priests, we get to bless people, pray for people, serve people, and bring glory to God's name. And so we declare, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Yes? Right. Well, what does John say next? Well, John then points us to the return of the King. Look, he is coming with the clouds. When Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, he often refers to this image, the King coming on the clouds as the end time judge and Lord over all. He says it a number of times in his parables, and he declares it even at his trial before the Sanhedrin. You remember the high priests hold Jesus under oath, and he says, tell us, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? And what did Jesus say? Yes. It's as you say, or in Mark's Gospel, I am, and you will see the Son of Man coming in power with his glory on clouds. That image is a fulfillment of Daniel chapter 7. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Friends, that's a prophecy about the kingdom we belong to. Well, John continues, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all people on earth will mourn because of him. For those who killed Jesus, for those who keep rejecting Jesus and his people, this will be a time of intense grief and mourning. Imagine the ongoing torment of regret. Ah, those followers of Jesus, they were right after all. Why did we spend our lives ignoring them and rejecting God to do our own thing? Why did we mock them, laugh at them, and accuse them of being simple-minded? Now we realize they were telling us the truth, but alas, it's too late. John Strellan writes, they will beat their breasts in sorrow, not for what they did to Jesus, but for what they have done to themselves. Now notice here that Christian believers are not mentioned. That's a bit of a puzzle as well. Why is that? Joe Strellan suggests it's because Revelation tells of a resurrection of believers and a judgment of unbelievers. It's like God's people, his faithful ones, are already caught up in the heavenly realms with him. And from that vista, they get to witness God executing perfect justice here on earth. It's like Jesus is completing the task of getting ready his rule here on earth, just as it already is in heaven. And that's why the saints declare, so shall it be, amen. God's bringing it all to completion. And then in verse 8, the living God reminds us again that he's in charge. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Just a few verses later in Revelation, John gets to see the Son of Man, Jesus, in all his glory. And John writes, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. It's interesting, John, he sees Jesus in his glory, and he's scared spitless. And Jesus reaches out and says, it's okay. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid because I am the first and last. Jesus is the source and destiny of all creation. He is Lord over time and the telos of goal or goal of human history that we are caught up in. And he reminds John, hey, I'm the living one. Yeah, I was dead. But on the third day, what happened? He was raised to life again. Friends, Jesus was seen by over 500 people in multiple encounters over 40 days. He has, in a sense, smashed through the wall of death into eternity, and he's come back into history to assure us, don't be afraid. I've conquered the grave. I hold the keys to release people from death and bring them into eternity with me. Friends, our eternal destiny is secure in Jesus. And this is important to remember. This is important to remember during times of trial or hardship or persecution. It's important to remember when we're going to the funeral of a loved one who has fallen asleep in Jesus and as we continue our grieving for them. It's important to remember when we are fearful or anxious about the present or future, And especially as we face our own death. Friends, Jesus is always with us, always for us. No emperors or kings, governments or world powers can stop God from bringing his restoration story to its marvelous completion. Since God is in charge of the world and God is in charge of us, we don't need to be afraid. For Jesus has got us covered from now to eternity. And we can live with hope, knowing that we are his forever. So friends, let's join the ancient saints. I invite you to stand as you're able, as again we give glory to God. Let's say this together. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.